Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In this lesson, we're continuing a study about what is sometimes called the study of the unknown tongues. And rather than reviewing many of the things that we said in previous lessons, there are a number of regulations in Scripture concerning the use of these tongues that did occur in the first century. Now, obviously, this power was used when it was needed. It was not for an emotional outburst or a show to be seen of men. There was no need for them when everyone present understood the same language, because it is evident from Scripture, tongues that were spoken were intelligible, understandable languages that people customarily used. They were unknown to the speaker until miraculously endued with power to be able to speak languages which were not normal and native and natural or learned by them. Now, not every Christian had this ability, 1 Corinthians 12:8 and also verse 30. Nor was it to be used unless there was an interpreter, 1 Corinthians 14:11 through 13. The so-called tongue speakers of today need to take that into consideration. The power to interpret was also a spiritual gift, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And 1 Corinthians 14:18 indicates that some could speak in more languages than others. The use of tongues and the interpretation of them was to avoid the confusion and reproach of their use, 1 Corinthians 14:23. How different from the confusion created by the unintelligible gibberish and babble that is heard by those who claim to be speaking in tongues today. Most of the regulation of tongues is found in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The tongues were for a sign, to edify and to clarify. To merely speak in tongues just to speak in tongues would accomplish no good purpose. The speaker might understand, but the hearers would not. How different this is today from some who claim this power. Why, today some will burst forth with some gibberish that neither they or anyone else can understand. Those who spoke in tongues were not to speak at the same time, but by course, that is, in an orderly manner, one after the other, verse 27. Obviously, the speaker had control then over the use of tongues. You know, some today claim they cannot hold back when the Spirit moves them, and they join with many others, and they all start their babbling at the same time. That's not what took place in New Testament times, friend. That's the creation of confusion. Notice also that women were forbidden to use this gift, verses 34 and 35. Isn't that strange? Even in this type of assembly where tongues were used, which is unlike any assembly today because tongues are no longer used, women were expected to respect the teaching of 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12. The women were prohibited from all teaching. In fact, we read how that the older women were to teach younger women, their children, and have even assisted in teaching men under certain conditions. However, they were not to speak in tongues in their assemblies. Now, Philip had four daughters who prophesied. The prohibition of women teaching over a man is where she assumes rank and authority and position and status over a man, and that is forbidden. How different from what we see in many religions today. They have no regard for the teaching of the Bible. There is no record of Christian women violating this rule in the Bible. We read of no women preachers or women teaching in mixed assemblies. And those who wish to ignore this biblical prohibition need to produce biblical authority for what they do. This was not merely a cultural matter. This was something God had decreed through the inspired apostle in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12. And women were forbidden to use the gift of speaking in tongues in their assemblies. Does it not strike you as strange how the modern so-called tongue speakers are, more often than not, the women? They get involved in their exercises more than the men. What kind of respect for the Bible is this? Contrary to the present and popular concept of tongue speaking, This gift was not the greatest gift even when the gift was used, verses 5 and 19. Teaching so as to produce understanding was considered far better. There are people of many religious groups who still claim this miraculous power. Ironically, they all accuse the others of being frauds. But we're inclined to agree with all of them and consider all of them frauds. They do not do the same thing, nor for the same purpose, nor by the same power as was done in the early church. This miraculous gift, like all the others, has ceased. And as already noted, the apostles who had the power are dead. Those on whom they laid their hands are dead. The gift was specified to cease when that which is perfect is come, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. Notice, this does not refer to the coming of Christ. It does not say when he who is perfect is come, but that which is perfect. It refers to something, not someone. It refers to the perfect will of God fully revealed. It refers to the faith once delivered, Jude verse 3, the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. For a time, God's truth was embodied in inspired men, earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. But now his all-sufficient will is embodied in the completed and confirmed of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Not only are the people gone that use these tongues, but the purpose of the use of the tongues has already been accomplished, namely, the confirmation of the word. Hebrews 2, verse 3 and 4. Mark 16 and verse 20. And we find a similar teaching in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. Paul was speaking of those who labored with miraculous power, verse 8, not people of today, or not of people all down through the ages. He said these gifts would exist till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, this does not mean, as some modern perversions of Scripture have mistranslated it, until we all believe alike. That day will never exist. It refers to the faith, completely revealed in its oneness and completeness and fullness. Until that was accomplished, these gifts would remain. After that, they would cease. And will you please notice in 1 Corinthians 13, that the cessation of these gifts would occur while faith and hope and love continue to abide. When the Lord Jesus returns, faith will become sight. The hope will become actual and fulfilled. You do not have hope for that which you already have, Romans 8 and verse 24. Yet these miraculous powers would cease while these three characteristics continued. And love will continue even after Jesus returns. Therefore, I know that the failing of these gifts was not to wait until Christ returns or before he returns. It was to terminate when the full revelation, given in portions, was fully given. As has been illustrated properly many times, the tongues and the other miraculous powers were like a scaffold used to build a building. While the building was being erected, the scaffold served a very essential purpose. But once the building was completed, the scaffold is removed. Friend, while the revelation of God was being revealed part by part, these gifts were useful and God considered them necessary. But once the revelation was fully given, there remained no more purpose for them. This fact in itself shows the folly for the contention of continuous revelation, latter-day revelation since the time of the apostles that some claim for themselves today. When you hear someone claim to have received something extra-biblical message from God, and someone else makes the same claim, then another, they do not even agree, but they often contradict. You can be sure that the Holy Spirit is not providing that confusion. It results from the unwillingness of men to be content with what God has revealed, wanting more and more and more. It is also noteworthy that those who claim to speak in tongues today still have to study and learn languages that are not native to them and normal languages to them, just like the rest of us. Why, if they possessed the gift of tongues, they could speak without that study. But they do not, they cannot, and they will not. What they do is to engage themselves under some super hyper emotionalism and taught procedure, babbling vowel sounds without sense and meaning, and have the audacity to call it miraculous tongue speaking like the days of the early church. Friend, it is false to the core. There is no question but the Holy Spirit operates on the hearts of men today. Every person converted to Christ is converted as a result of the operation of the Holy Spirit. But that operation is not a miraculous or a direct operation. The Holy Spirit operates through the use of the inspired Word of God, the Word that was given by the Spirit that furnishes us completely in everything that we need and must have in service to God. And even when people will be willing to accept God's Word, they will cease their contention and their expectation of the miraculous manifestations that they falsely claim to possess. The so-called tongue-speaking claim today is supposed to designate that a person is being spiritual, and therefore somewhat superior to others. What it really demonstrates is a lack of faith in God's Word, and the desire that God do something special for them that He has never promised to do for them. It's somewhat like the request of the rich man in Luke 16 who wanted something special for his brothers, something more than what God had already provided. When someone asks you, "Do you believe in tongue speaking?" you must be careful about your answer. No, we deny that anyone today speaks in tongues, as did the early Christians recorded in the Bible. Yes, we believe that the early Christians did speak in languages unknown to them through natural means and through normal learning, just as the inspired record reveals. Friend, we need to understand what the Bible teaches on things and not be followed and led around naively and gullibly by those who claim to be superior religiously. We need to put our confidence in the Word of God. Take God at His Word and take all that God says in His Word. Why, this is the way that we'll find our way to heaven. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.